This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
It's all about living your best life
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I'm Helen Farmer. Fantastic to have you with us on the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. We had a very special show recently, broadcasting live from the New Zealand Pavilion, and a massive food focus. Taste New Zealand starts this month, celebration of the nation's food, beverage and culinary talent. And we were giving you a sneak peek in conversation with celebrity chef Sid Sarat. We were speaking to some upcoming chefs as well. What's inspired them to leave their native New Zealand and come here to Expo? The dishes on the menu at Tiaki. And in conversation with Daniel Wells, the Vice President of Commercial at Emirates Flight Catering, about what it takes to feed the masses at Expo 2020.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live at the New Zealand Pavilion for Taste New Zealand. Celebrating the best in food, beverage and culinary talent.
It is Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer. We're broadcasting live from Expo 2020 Dubai and making myself very much at home in the New Zealand Pavilion. Joined now by Clayton Kimpton. He's the Commissioner General. And I have to say, Clayton, thank you for having us in your gorgeous office space today. I would love to try and paint a picture. We've got lots of natural sunlight. We've got beautiful colours, woods. I mean, it's like a little oasis of calm amid Expo 2020.
It is, and it's a real pleasure to have you here. So
thank
you're
you.
Very welcome, as are all of your listeners, to come and share this space.
Well, we have got a brilliant competition as well for people to be joining. We've got some seats up for grabs at a very special culinary evening. We're going to be coming to that about 5:30. But I need to get a bit of awkwardness out the way first, if you don't mind. A confession, if you will. Because I've never been to New Zealand.
Oh, really?
I know. The opportunity has just never arisen. And now that my kids are a bit older and they will merrily watch TV on a plane, I feel like the time could be coming. Can you tell us a little bit about growing up in that part of the world?
Well, it's hard to compare it because I've only grown up in mm-hmm. New Zealand. But I'm very, very blessed to be brought up in a place like New Zealand where the beaches are accessible, the natural, the parks, the mountains, the snow, canoeing, fishing was a big part of what we did, and you could fish from the beach and catch fish. You could gather mussels. You could so it was a very, very privileged upbringing mm-hmm. and our access to nature, mm-hmm. which we just simply took for granted.
I'm sure.
And I had families who owned farms, and I milked cows. I was able to shear sheep. I was able to bale hay. All the sorts of things that nowadays, and even in New Zealand nowadays, as we have bigger cities, it's not a privilege that everyone gets to enjoy.
It sounds idyllic, and you already mentioned food, which is what it's all about this afternoon, Clayton. And are there any foods you miss from home?
Well, I've got some favourite foods, but you know the amazing thing about living in Dubai is all of those favourite foods are actually available here. So if you want to have New Zealand lamb, which I love, you can buy that here. Mm-hmm. Even New Zealand chicken, the mussels.
Oh, the teagles.
The teagle chicken. So I have to say I'm not missing any food. The wonderful thing about shopping at a supermarket here is you can, the provenance of the food is all very clear. If you mm-hmm. want to buy New Zealand's rocket apples, you know they're from New Zealand. Or if you want to buy Zespri kiwi fruit or the lamb or the teagle chicken, as you say, or the beef. So I think people who live in this city are really spoilt for choice. And they can get so much of New Zealand food here.
And a big part of that is because New Zealand is offering often the very best in some of those, ingredient categories, for want of a word. We're going to be talking about lamb this afternoon with Chef Sidden making his delicious dish. Let's talk a little bit about the Taste New Zealand Festival. It starts tomorrow, 3 weeks, a celebration of culinary talent, of food, of dishes. What do you think you want to communicate about New Zealand food with this celebration, Clayton?
Look, it's one, we want everyone to have fun, mm-hmm. And what better way to have fun than to share amazing food? So that's easy, isn't it? And we've got such engaging chefs that are coming in who are so passionate about what they do. So that's quite infectious. So when you're, not a good use of a word at the moment, is it? But it really makes the whole event enjoyable. Why are we doing this? I guess it's because New Zealand is known for premium quality, tasty, safe, nutritious, and ethical food. Mm-hmm. And that's why the New Zealand food is often top shelf, because people know what they're getting is going to be delicious. They know it's safe. They know it's grown ethically. And I guess the other thing we're wanting to really demonstrate is New Zealand doesn't have a national dish as such, but the ingredients that we grow, whether you're from Thailand or whether Malaysia or Morocco or India or the UAE, those ingredients work in your national dish. And I guess that's why when we look across a city like Auckland, which has 200 different nationalities,
wow,
you can go out and dine in so many different national restaurants, mm-hmm, and it's that New Zealand produce which makes it even more delicious.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that. We will be in conversation and cooking with Sid Sarawat later, who is bringing together Indian cuisine, New Zealand cuisine, and also some traditional methods from around the world too. And we've got fantastic Clayton Kimpton joining us this afternoon, the Commissioner General here at the New Zealand Pavilion. Up next, can we talk a little bit about the space, the craftsmanship as well, everything from the soundtrack to the ceramics. It's Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer. Join the conversation, have your say. Have you been to New Zealand? What did you love about it? And if you want to highlight a few dishes, we're going to be talking about the menu here at Te Aki next.
From Expo 2020 Dubai.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
We are live here at the New Zealand Pavilion, and we want you to come along. I mean, obviously, if you're here at Expo 2020 today or on your way, come and give us a wave. We're in Te Aki Restaurant, but we'd love you to join us on the 29th of January. We are going to be having a degustation dinner, and we have got 8 seats up for grabs. So 4 of you could be coming along with a plus one. We've got Casey and Karina Matariki. They are going to be putting together an incredible, incredible meal and some pairings as well. So if you fancy coming along, we are going to keep it simple. We've just been chatting with Clayton Kimpton, the Commissioner General, about New Zealand not having a national dish as such, but there are certainly some national ingredients. So we're going to keep it easy today, and for your chance to go into the draw and win a spot for you in a plus one, 4 winners today, so great chance of winning for that degustation dinner on the 29th of January. What is the national fruit of New Zealand? Clayton's looking at me. I know it's easy. We're all very tired. 4001 to join that. Or you can use, of course, your ARN Play app as well. You're not allowed to enter.
Oh, that's a shame.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm hoping you're going to be there anyway. Because
I will be there.
The Taste New Zealand Festival is starting tomorrow with all sorts of amazing events. We've got Chef Sid Sarawat joining us this afternoon to cook, but he's actually going to be hosting a dinner on a Friday night. So the 14th, there's going to be pairings, a bit of a culinary tour around New Zealand as well. We're going to be learning a bit more about that. Clayton, can you tell us a little bit about the space we're in? Because the details are just incredible, from the lighting, the ceramics, the soundtrack. What kind of thought goes into creating a pavilion? Because presumably you've got no idea what other countries are going to be doing.
Look, that's right. We had no idea what other countries were going to do in terms of a restaurant or food service. But we had we had this idea that we wanted the best way to really talk about New Zealand's food and beverage was to share it. Mm-hmm. And in New Zealand, we have this Māori word called manaakitanga, which is the concept around hosting someone for a meal and sharing and caring for people. So we wanted an environment that people would come into and immediately feel relaxed. Mm-hmm. It was cool, but it was also had that open feeling. And we're able to use the obodo wood, which you see around the place, as well as all of the furniture has been designed in New Zealand, which gives that very relaxed feel without it being too casual, because mm-hmm. we want people to come and experience that New Zealand hospitality, but also know that the food is a very, very important part of that. It's not grab and go.
No, the food's amazing. Absolutely incredible. I mean, the menu is really elevated, and obviously at Expo there's all sorts of different opportunities to have, you know, everything from, you know, your talabat and pizzas, food from all over the world, but here there is that sense of occasion. But you've got that real mix of casual and fine dining. You've got fish and chips, but really good fish and chips. I just tried the lamb that we're going to be cooking with Chef Sid earlier, which absolutely blew my socks off, not just because it was on the spicy side, but it was so well cooked. Now, I'm sure you have, this is almost like your staff canteen, which makes you the luckiest man in Dubai. What are some of your highlights on the menu?
Well, the Kiwi burger is an absolute highlight. And we have people coming in. We had a group of very senior people come in yesterday, and it was seven burgers. So they had heard on the traps that you had to have the kiwi burger.
I'm
going
to have to stay for dinner. What makes this burger so good?
Well, it has beetroot on it and an egg. And I'm sure there's a special sauce somewhere in there as well.
There always is.
And there is a real competition amongst some of the other pavilions over who has the best burger. But you know where it is. It's here.
Right here.
It's right here.
There is a radio feature in that, and I'd be willing to put myself forward as the official Dubai Eye burger taster, because we've had Denmark saying they've got this gold one. There's you guys putting your beetroot and egg on it. I think there's something in that.
I think there is. There needs to be a burger off. But look, so the burger is very, very popular. But there's some other things that you won't necessarily get everywhere. The venison, both the venison pie, but also the venison fillet, just melts in your mouth. It's absolutely delicious. One of my favourites, though, and this is a dish which they say is to share, is the kapiti brie, whole round of kapiti brie, baked in phyllo pastry with onion jam. And you cut this open and the brie just flows out. It is so. When New Zealand is so well known for its cheese, and that's an absolutely awesome dish. So I buy that just for myself.
Good man. On the dessert front, I was presented with a slice of honey cake just before coming on air with hokey pokey. My mum's from Northern Ireland. Hokey pokey is really well known in Belfast. Oh my goodness, it was incredible. It's like a honeycomb crunch. Yeah. So, so delicious. So we are inviting you to come along and enjoy a fantastic festival, but also come along for this dinner on the 29th. What are you looking forward to over the next few weeks in particular, Clayton?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about desserts, because in addition to the delicious Comvita honey cake, we have, of course, pavlova. Don't talk to the Australians.
It's going to get controversial now.
Don't talk to the Australians about it, because the pavlova was invented in New Zealand. Of course, our pavlova is awesome, so I encourage people to try that as well. In terms of what's coming up over the next 3 weeks, I guess this is an opportunity for people to enjoy the meal where the chefs are here actually cooking with us. And it's great to get to know the chef and to see their delight as you're enjoying that food. I think people are going to be surprised by some of the dishes, and that's what's really fantastic with Chef Sid. He brings that Indian influence into that New Zealand produce. We're going to see with Casey and Karina a lot of the traditional herbs and spices that come from the Māori as well. So I think people are going to really be surprised by what they eat, but delighted. So I guess it's around that experience and enjoying it in this beautiful environment.
Well, don't forget, if you are here this afternoon, pop in and say hello. Clayton, thank you so much for joining us. Clayton Kimpton, the Commissioner General of the New Zealand Pavilion, for the hospitality, the beautiful space that we're broadcasting from this afternoon as well.
From Expo 2020 Dubai.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Joining us now, delighted to be speaking to Joanne Black, Category Manager at Spinneys, as we look at New Zealand food. We are broadcasting live from the New Zealand Pavilion this afternoon. It's a real celebration of everything delicious. We are going to be cooking later with Chef Sid, a celebrity chef who is over here for the Taste New Zealand Festival, which starts tomorrow. And if you do want to join us on the 29th for a degustation dinner, a bit of a culinary tour with Karina and Casey Bird, then you just need to tell me what is the national fruit of New Zealand. Let me know on 4001. Lots of emojis coming in. We will accept that as an answer, but I do need your name there. Joanne Black, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great, thanks, Helen. How are you doing?
Yeah, really well. I mean, I actually couldn't be happier, to be honest. We're out and about in the most beautiful space. I've just had some lamb, some manuka honey cake served to me. I mean, I know it's a stereotype. It's a good one. New Zealanders are just lovely. It's just such a lovely group of people. So I'm in a very happy place indeed. Take us to the supermarket, though, because we were just in conversation there with Clayton Kimpton talking about the quality of produce to come out of New Zealand. And I wondered, with you guys at Spinneys, you've got a long-standing relationship with a number of farms and producers in that part of the world. Is this in response to what UA consumers are looking for, or is it simply because it's some of the best in the world?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely say it's a mix of the two. I mean, when it comes to what our customers look for when they're shopping with us, it's a number of things. And obviously, it's all dependent on where in the store you're shopping. You know, key credentials that we know our customers are looking for is quality, of course, freshness, innovation, and of course new to market as well. But yeah, you've touched on some really great categories there: meat, fish, dairy, some of the best out of the world coming from the likes of New Zealand.
Clayton was highlighting the lamb, of course, that we're cooking with today, the Teagle chicken, which is one of my favourites, available in the rotisserie as well. Now, you mentioned innovation there, and of course Expo 2020 really celebrating that from all over the world. What does that actually mean when it comes to growing and farming food? What are you seeing out of New Zealand, perhaps even in particular?
Yeah, definitely. Touching on a number of different pillars within innovation, things like sustainability, things about clean ingredients and clean recipe decks. We're seeing just some phenomenal step changes in certain categories on certain products. So, for example, the likes of water, you know, a very highly commoditized category. New Zealand have absolutely led the way on pioneering a really premium brand out of their country, a product that you probably would see at the restaurant at the Expo Pavilion, New Zealand, a brand called Antipodes.
I'm having a glass right now. It's a beautiful bottle as well, which I know shouldn't matter, but it does if it's going on a dining table.
It really is. It's really stunning. And for something like water, like I said, very commoditized. I mean, how can you differentiate water? We drink it every day of our lives. But it really, really is. The quality is phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Let's go back to the meat, because we are talking about lamb a little bit. What about the relationship that you at Spinneys have with the farmers and the producers? I know the pandemic has put something of a pause on travel plans, but historically, what has that relationship meant, and how has it actually manifested?
Yeah, absolutely. Our meat team specifically would be visiting New Zealand and Australia multiple times throughout the year, and having those relationships with the farmers, the growers, whoever they're meeting, is extremely important. We pride ourselves on having those great collaborations, and that is how we step change our offering at Spinneys, by bringing the best quality from across the world, and New Zealand being one of them. Obviously, COVID has had an impact on how much we can travel. It has had a bit of a spanner into the works, but we still have frequent conversations with those suppliers weekly, if not daily, in many of the categories.
Now, we can't go there right now, unfortunately, to visit these farms, but tell us a little bit about the actual produce. You know, what are the buyers looking for to ultimately get the best product to shelf? You know, is it to do with the way the animals are raised? Is it to do with the feeding, the environment? Can you paint a little picture about what happens in that space and how it actually translates to what we be eating on our plate?
Definitely. And it, again, it's a mixture of what you've mentioned. New Zealand is obviously famed for grass-fed meat, and that is something that we stand behind completely. We're absolutely looking for rearing at the best possible quality. You know, our animals need to be treated with respect, and that we won't accept anything less than that. And definitely, you know, the agriculture there from the likes of produce, it is a fantastic place that allows us to bring products that we can't get anywhere else in the world. Beautiful climate and great agriculture create a great mixture for fantastic produce.
Joanne, we've had a message on 4001. You are the category manager at Spinneys, and we're here at Te Aki Restaurant in the New Zealand Pavilion, where there are some incredible dishes. Now, Clayton, the Commissioner General, just highlighted some of his favourites, and he says the venison is amazing, and that goes into one of the pies, but they also have it without pastry too. We've had a message going, "Hi Helen, can Spinneys please get New Zealand venison?" So I'm giving you a direct plea from the people of Dubai. It's coming on 4001. I'm just passing on the message, Joanne, all right? But it does raise an interesting point in terms of how you begin that process. You know, is it a case of, if enough people petition to get a product, how do you then go about getting it to, you know, getting it to the supermarket? And how long does that process normally take?
It differs by area, really, and we like to pride ourselves on being really, really close with our customers and really listening to them. You know, they're the reason that we're able to do what we do, and we wouldn't be here without them. So Absolutely. We love getting feedback from our customers with whatever channel it may be, whether it's social media, whether it's them calling us up and just giving a bit of feedback. But yeah, it can be quite a long process if it's an ambient product, so something that's not chilled. With products that are fresh, predominantly they're flown in from the country of origin, so it can be a bit more quicker. Obviously, there is a lot of legislation. There's certain restrictions on things that we can and can't bring, halal certification, for example, in the likes of the venison. But absolutely, I will pass that message on.
Thank you.
We'll see what we can do.
we're just here to help. Joanne Black joining us, category manager at Spinneys. Up next, we're going to talk about the consumer trends, the spending patterns that we're seeing from UAE consumers and how ultimately New Zealand is answering our prayers and questions.
From Expo 2020 Dubai,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It is all about food. We're here celebrating Taste New Zealand, which is starting tomorrow, running through until the 31st of January, and a real celebration of the nation's food and beverage and culinary talent. We are going to be cooking up a storm, cooking up some lamb in about an hour's time, meeting some young chefs as well. And now in conversation with Joanne. Joanne's joining us from Spinneys, where she is the category manager, and talking a little bit about the ingredients. Joanne Black is here. Joanne, thank you so much for joining us. You were talking earlier about some of the areas in store where you can find New Zealand produce, and of course meat is a real star of the show, whether that is the New Zealand lamb, teakle chicken. You mentioned dairy as well. What do we need to be looking out for on the shelves of Spinneys in that category?
So definitely, as I'm sure everyone would know, a growing trend on things like alternative milks, plant-based milks, but also long-life dairy milks too. We've seen a massive growth in that area over the last 12 months, and even longer since COVID began, really. So there's some really great quality products coming out of New Zealand from the likes of Fonterra. And yeah, you'll be able to find them on the shelves of Spinneys. Really great quality.
Now, I wanted to ask you about consumer trends, buying patterns, and I think you've already answered that question when it comes to those dairy and meat alternatives. Can I ask about the kind of questions you get from customers? You know, we talk time and time again about us really caring about where our food is from, really having questions about that provenance. Is that something that you are getting through the website? Is it kind of conversations staff are having in the public, or is it in store?
Yeah, absolutely. Our customers, as every day passes by, are becoming really, really serious about what they're consuming, what they're putting in their bodies. And there's definitely scrutiny on packaging. There's definitely scrutiny on ingredients and recipes. We get a lot of feedback through social media from customers really wanting to understand where we're sourcing from, why we're sourcing from that country. We have an obligation to provide the customers with that information and to be confident that we are stocking the most appropriate products.
And looking ahead to 2022, I'm asking you to get your crystal ball out now, if you don't mind, Joanne. What are you expecting to really resonate with us as customers? Any new areas that you're looking to, expand in response to global trends and buying patterns here in the UAE?
Definitely. So I think health and wellness will continue to be a major growing trend. I believe holistic wellness as well will start to transition over into the UAE and people become a lot more focused on holistic wellness. And we're already seeing those trends already. We get hundreds and hundreds of requests from customers from where they've travelled abroad and they've seen products in other countries and say, we want to be able to buy this back home in the UAE. So we do get quite a lot of feedback, and a lot of that is around health and wellness, holistic wellness, and also sustainability as well.
I'm going to the text line, Joanne. The venison fans are out in force. So we've had several messages now saying, definitely please bring venison. Let's have some venison sausages. So we are here for you. bridging the gap between those who can make it happen and indeed us who have got those requests. I've had people lobbying for frozen pies before. We've had all sorts of requests coming in on 4001 for our friends at Spinney. So Joanne Black, thank you so much for being with us. And let you get back to your busy day. Go and have a chat with the meat team, because there are some people who want that venison in store.
From Expo 2020 Dubai,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
It is Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer. We're broadcasting live from the New Zealand Pavilion, and a real buzz around the place. There always is on the food front, but this week in particular, because we're joined now by Chef Sid Sarawat. He is undeniably a real pioneer in fine dining cooking, bringing together New Zealand ingredients and influence, but also from his native India as well. He has won numerous awards for a hat trick of restaurants, most recently Sid at the French Cafe. And he's here as for a part of Taste New Zealand, going to be cooking up an absolute storm with a brand new dish that we're going to be cooking very soon. It is a caramelised lamb rack with horopito seasoned creme fraiche and parsnip crisps. And Chef, I had it for my lunch and you've made my day, to be honest. What a dish. How are you this afternoon?
Really good. Yourself?
Yeah, really. I mean, I honestly couldn't be happier. I mean, I don't know about you, but Expo just surprises me and delights me every time I come. What have your first impressions been of Expo and, of course, New Zealand Pavilion?
It just looks fantastic. I think it just feels like coming back home.
Does it really?
Yeah. I mean, just all the detail and just going and having a look at the Whanganui River, and it's just really just touching. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. I think we want to try and explore a little bit more over the next few days.
You've got your trainers on. You're going to have to make some time.
Yeah, for the length of it, for sure.
Vast. Yeah. And, you know, truth be told, I perhaps naively didn't realise that food was going to be such a focus of Expo 2020. I thought about it as being, of course, a place of education and innovation and there being a business element as well. But I hadn't really thought about people coming in, discovering about countries through food. But I mean, really, food is the original language, isn't it? You know, it's all about communication.
It's become such a big part of our lives now, isn't it? That's what life is all about.
It is, and I think we forget that sometimes. I think we forget that, you know, food is this opportunity for communication and education and celebration rather than just something you, like me, you know, grab and go.
Totally.
So let's talk a little bit about you. Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in a place called Chandigarh, which is about 3 hours from Delhi. And I lived there till I was 15, and then I moved to the Middle East after that, did my apprenticeship there, and that was for 3 years in Muscat for the Grand Hyatt.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where my family used to live and work. Mm-hmm. And after that, we wanted to venture out, and for me, I wanted to develop myself as a chef, and that's when I moved to New Zealand and worked through the ropes and slowly got to where we are now.
You make it sound so simple. It's not.
Everything has its moments, and you know, you feel like some days you go backwards, and then you achieve more the next day and over the time.
So let's go back then to childhood. Who was cooking, and what were they making? What was on the table?
So my dad was in the army, so we got to travel a lot, and that's where we would try different cuisines and different elements. My grandmother was really into cooking, and my mum was a full time teacher, so she used to cook for me basically 7 days a week. And that cooking has really stayed to my heart till today. Some of the things I crave today are still what she used to cook.
Like what?
Just like layered bread. So it's like a paratha, which is stuffed with potato and sometimes would be the cauliflower.
All the carbs.
But anything she would cook would be amazing.
Is there a smell that takes you back to childhood?
Just when you cook flatbread, like just before you eat it, and when you just put a knob of butter and just melt slowly with a bit of yogurt, you can't beat it.
That sounds amazing. Yeah. You are today, as you said, cooking up something that really brings together an incredible, you know, I don't even say ingredient. It's so lamb's so much more than an ingredient, especially in New Zealand, but bringing together some of that Indian influence as well. And it's really interesting you mentioned the Middle East and some of your travels. In fact, part of the dinner you are doing later on this week, on the 14th, is a real culinary tour of New Zealand. And I hadn't quite realised there was that diversity around the country. We're going to be talking about that next. And I'm sure in India, in no other country in the world, do you see such food diversity. We're joined this afternoon, Chef Sarawat, joining us as we talk food, glorious food.
From Expo 2020 Dubai,
this is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Talking talking food this afternoon as we're broadcasting live from the New Zealand Pavilion, celebrating Taste New Zealand. It's a three-week festival that starts this week. And delighted to be joined now by Chef Sid Sarawat. He has gone from India to Oman, New Zealand, and of course now here in Dubai as part of this foodie festival. And we are going to be cooking in about half an hour's time, giving you some tips on how to choose lamb, how to cook with it, balancing flavours, which I think is such a difficult thing to do. But this sounds like something that you're really passionate about, Sid. I had this lamb dish before and I was a little bit concerned because I love tandoori, I love spiced lamb, but sometimes it can overpower the flavour of that meat, which is so beautiful. Because I'm talking a little bit about that too. Now, let's go back a little bit. You're talking about traveling a lot as a child and as a teen, and now, of course, as an adult as well. What kind of influence do travels have on your life, but most importantly, on your work in the kitchen?
I guess before the pandemic, we used to travel every year, and it changes you as a person, changes you as a chef. Also for the children, they see so many different cultures, different styles of food. Just everything about it changes the way we look at our lives. And that's what's done to me as well. Like moving, like living in different countries, I've learned so much. And working in the Middle East, going back to the lamb dish, it sort of is going back to the roots where 2 o'clock at night after work, we'd have like this kebab or mixed grill and had these kind of subtle spices, but just enough to get the flavor of the meat going and the smokiness of the charcoal. And we sort of wanted to put that together in our own way. And that's where New Zealand lamb, it leans itself to that spice, that fat kind of renders down with the spice, and then you just need something cooling, like a bit of yogurt or creme fraiche. And with Expo, with being Taste New Zealand, we wanted to showcase all the beautiful New Zealand ingredients.
Tummy's rumbling across Dubai thinking about charred lamb and creme fraiche and bread. You mentioned the pandemic there, and I'm curious what impact it had, do you think, on the way that we eat, whether that's at home or in restaurants. What have you noticed as a chef and restaurateur?
What I've noticed is over the last 2 years, we all have gone back to the roots in terms of just supporting local people. You can't travel, so you want to support everything that's around you, grown next to you, and just people who are really passionate about what they do.
Now, you also, I Googled you, of course, earlier this week, and the first thing that comes up is your sauces. So you have your range out of Cassia. Tell us a little bit about the decision to do that, because I believe that was born out of the pandemic itself.
Totally. And when people were like ordering takeaways, they were like, can we order the chicken with the korma sauce? And we were like, well, actually, no, it doesn't really work like that. But it made us think what we could do with it. And initially, I was a bit apprehensive about it. Mm-hmm. But then as we developed the sauce, we found that we didn't actually have to change the recipe at all. And now it's so convenient for people at home after they finish work, just to cook your protein and finish the sauce, and you have dinner up in like 5 minutes.
Can you bring them to Dubai, please? They look
for sure. Yes. I've got some to give you.
Oh my goodness, day is made. Now tell us then a little bit about traveling, because as you said, you used to go away once a year. Are you a chef that travels with your own knives if you're going, doing a tour, or if you're trying to make that kitchen feel like home? What's in your kind of rider, I suppose, chef?
Depends how long I'm going for and which country, because there's a lot of countries.
Good point.
Yeah, you can't really take whatever you want. Food is another thing you can't really take. If you're going to Australia, you can't take whatever you want. So I take my wife with me.
Good. It's all you need.
Yeah.
She's right beside us, by the way. Now, you mentioned earlier that on the 14th, we are having a culinary tour. So this is Friday night. And it's going to be a journey around different regions in New Zealand. How much diversity is there when it comes to New Zealand cuisine by geography?
Oh, so much diversity. And for the Taste New Zealand, I wanted to showcase some of my favorite ingredients and want to take the diners on a journey of temperature, texture, flavor, and also the provenance of New Zealand. And that's what the whole menu is all about.
Well, we're going to be exploring that this hour, and up next, we're going to the kitchen, talking about this dish, breaking it down and giving you some advice on how to make restaurant quality food at home. You can, of course, get New Zealand lamb across the UAE, but we're putting a celebrity chef spin on it to make sure you really elevate it.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live at the New Zealand Pavilion for Taste New Zealand, celebrating the best in food, beverage and culinary talent.
Fantastic to have you with us. We are broadcasting live from the New Zealand Pavilion, and you're going to hear some sizzling soon because we're cooking in the kitchen, Chef Sid, and we are making his dish this afternoon, which is going to be on the menu. It is a caramelised lamb rack with horopito seasoned creme fraiche and parsnip crisps. Chef, I've got a confession to make, though. I've never heard of horopito. What is it?
So horopito is native to New Zealand. It's a bush pepper. So it's just basically like a big plant. You have to dry it out, and then you blitz it into a fine powder. It's like a pepper, but it's got its own sort of profile flavor.
Okay, now, it is spicy. I enjoyed it, and I always say I am like proper white girl spicy. Here comes the sizzle. This is the lamb going in. Chef, what is on that lamb? Tell us a little bit about the treatment you've given it.
So it's got a bit of fat content on the lamb rack, and then it's got onion, a little bit of ginger, garlic, Kashmiri chili, and a spice called chapli kebab, which is really good on kebabs. So whether it's Middle Eastern, Indian, Pakistani, it's just beautiful. It's got cracked coriander seed.
Ooh, yum.
That really kind of brings the nuttiness out of all the ingredients.
And tell us a little bit. I mean, I love ordering lamb in restaurants, and I see it often on the shelves of Spinneys, and I'm like, there seems to be such a range of different cuts in different countries, and what should you be looking for?
Depends what dish you're cooking. If you're making a lamb shoulder, it's best to braise it for a few hours and then caramelize the skin. If you're making lamb chops, just a quick seal, depending on what doneness you want. If you want it medium rare, just like a minute on each side. But if you want it fully cooked, maybe 2 to 2.5 minutes. If you're making a lamb stew, then just braise it really gently.
Okay. Now, what we're cooking today is going to be on the menu. The spice, I can smell it. It's absolutely brilliant. I hope I'm going to put the microphone right next so you can hear this sizzle. It's all happening here at the kitchens at Tiaki Restaurant. Now, we are also doing this creme fraiche and the parsnip crisps as well. And there's a big pot of butter, because I think every single chef in the whole wide world, no matter where they're from, will tell you that butter is better. So, Chef, tell us a little bit about how you create dishes. You're bringing your Indian heritage. You're using those ingredients from New Zealand. Are you an experimenter in the kitchen? How long does it take to get something on the menu at, say, the French Cafe, for example?
Some dishes are born overnight, and some dishes take months and months and still fail.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing is to think about the core ingredient first, say, for example, lamb or beef or scampi, and then you sort of take your wild imagination or an ingredient you want to work it with and just sort of collaborate. Or, you know, sometimes I talk to my chefs what they're passionate about. What's in the season, what's inspiring us at that time. And we let nature guide us a lot as well. So that's the thing. Cooking is so collaborative. It's all about going with your natural instinct and what's good at that time.
Well, talk to us a little bit about seasonality then in New Zealand. What are some of the ingredients that you really look forward to getting your hands on as a chef?
So like in summer, for me, my favorite thing is stone fruit, berries, sweet corn. I love those things. And, you know, we'll try and find the region, say, if we have a lot of stone fruit in Hawke's Bay, we'll base the dessert everything around Hawke's Bay, whether it's macadamias going with that stone fruit. In winter, we'll have beautiful celeriac or Jerusalem artichoke. And again, we'll base it around the terroir or the region of what's growing.
So the ingredients have their neighbors around them.
Totally.
There's no strangers.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, that kind of the finding the terroir. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing to us. And sustainability, the environment, where it comes from.
It makes a lot of sense. You're going to get that cohesion because if they've grown up and they're local to each other, then they're naturally going to work together on the plate and the palate.
For sure. Like for fish, if we get some fish from a supplier, we'll use the garnishes from around that area. Sea grapes, seaweed, all just around that kind of surrounding. And then that food has to tell a story, anyone's story. And that's what I think is beauty when you put the food down on the plate. Explain why the reason is to put all that together.
And I think as diners, we're more curious about that now. You know, maybe 10 years ago, it was just a case of I'm going to enjoy a nice plate of food. Now we want to see that on the menu. We want to know where things have come from and why you as a chef have chosen to work with them. Are you finding that with diners in your restaurants in New Zealand?
Big time. They want to know everything about it. They want to know what the reason for the combination is, where it's come from, and how much miles it's traveled, and just everything about it. And we become more and more local. We don't want to use anything out of New Zealand.
How's our lamb doing?
It's almost done. So now it's really important to rest your meat for at least half the time you cook it for. So all the juices kind of come back to the meat. And so we're just going to let it rest here and then start garnishing with a creme fraiche.
Got a beautiful char on those lamb chops, my goodness. Now,
the char is the most important on a lamb chop, just more caramelization.
We've got the parsnip crisp, we've got this creme fraiche with the horopito in as well. Chef, can we talk a little bit about the culinary tour? Because on the 14th, so Friday night, we're welcoming diners here to the New Zealand Pavilion for a very special evening. You're going to do some pairings and really giving people a bit of a journey around New Zealand through the power of food. And please forgive me, I think of New Zealand being a small country and perhaps I didn't realise there was going to be such diversity of food, you know, depending on the district. What can we expect if we were to do a driving tour of New Zealand? What are some of the things you could find in different parts of the country and why?
So on Friday, we're going to do a dish based on scampi. So scampi comes from the South Island, a place called Blenheim, which is very close to Marlborough. And that's where we get abundance of seafoods. And we're going to base the scampi with cabbage around there and sorrel with some cultured cream. So that's going to be a nice entree to start. And then we're going to go into beef, which is from Silver Fern Farms, Rotorua, beautiful grass-fed beef. And again, beef for me is, and mushrooms works really well together. Mm. So it's all about beef and mushroom together, a puree made with all the offcuts of the mushrooms we trim, and then caramelized all mushrooms with a little bit of cream. And yeah, that's basically it. Just all about that. Pico Pico, which is a New Zealand fern. It's like fiddlehead kind of looking fern.
It's edible?
It's edible. It's kind of... I've got one right here.
Oh, it's beautiful. Look at that
lovely
curl at the top.
So it's got this kind of real savory finish to it, nice texture to it.
So how do you eat it?
We're just going to warm it through with the beef. So, you know, Pico Pico gets a little bit of the beef flavor as well. And I believe in cooking everything together, so you get all the kind of caramelization going.
And means you're not washing up as many dishes as well.
Yeah, totally.
And do you have a sweet tooth yourself, Chef?
I love sweets.
All right,
yeah.
Okay. Now, we're not going to go down the pavlova argument. We've already had the Commissioner General of the Pavilion claiming pavlova for New Zealand's own. The flag has been put in that meringue. What's going to be the dessert on Friday night?
So, again, honey is a big part of New
yes.
Zealand. Manuka honey. So we wanted to base honey with a bit of kiwi fruit and chocolate, but the chocolate has got the same honey when it's cooked out, and then honeycomb, like hokey pokey. Then kiwi fruit, a little bit of freeze-dried mandarin, so all the New Zealand ingredients in one plate.
Now, manuka honey I find really interesting because in certain countries it's just been a go-to. It's just been a staple for so long.
Yeah.
And then, like many things, the Western world goes, it's a superfood.
Yeah.
And, you know, it starts to become this must-have ingredient. How do you recommend kind of working with honey at home? Are there any things, I mean, obviously a drizzle on a dessert or even a drizzle on cheese can be, you know, incredibly delicious. Any other ways that you think we could incorporate it?
For us, we make a custard out of it.
Oh, wow.
Or even an ice cream. But it depends on what form of honey it is. If it's in a beeswax, you cook it out in milk, so you get the real flavor of the beeswax. But if it's just liquid honey, you can do an ice cream. Just really depends on what form.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're all hungry now. We're delighted to be here at the New Zealand Pavilion, cooking up in an absolute storm. Not me. Very much the smeller and the taster today. It is the fantastic Sid Sarawat. He is one of the pioneers of the fine dining food industry in New Zealand. Born in India, trained in the Middle East, and he's been calling New Zealand home for 20 years now. He's got three of Auckland's highest award restaurants, Siddharth, which we'll be talking about soon, Cassia, and his most recent undertaking, Sid at the French Cafe. He is here as part of Taste New Zealand, a three-week festival really showcasing the nation's food and beverage offering. It is taking place from tomorrow until the 31st of January.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live at the New Zealand Pavilion for Taste New Zealand, celebrating the best in food, beverage and culinary talent.
It is all about food today because Taste New Zealand starts tomorrow. It's a three-week festival and a real celebration of the culinary talent, the ingredients and the drinks, of course, of New Zealand right here at Expo 2020 Dubai. And we're going to be talking about some new chefs very soon, but established celebrity chef sitting right next to me now. We've got Sid Sarawat. He is one of the pioneers of the fine dining food industry in New Zealand. From India to Oman to New Zealand, plus some travels along the way, He's had a hat trick of awarded restaurants, Siddharth and now Cassia, and his most recent undertaking, Sid at the French Cafe. So a bit of French in there as well, Chef.
Absolutely. I love French and Italian. Italian was actually my background.
So it's a whole amalgamation. It's a global. How do you explain your foodie philosophy? If someone, you know, arrived at your restaurant, didn't know anything about you or the space, how would you explain the menu?
For me as a chef, I love to push boundaries. I think that's the thing for me. I don't want to put something that's too off the beaten track, mm-hmm. and that's where we sort of defy some of the rules of cooking. We won't put cheese and seafood together, but I've put Roquefort ice cream as a dessert before.
Ooh.
So that's sort of just gives you a little...
The cheese and seafood thing, that's a very traditional Italian.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, but then some people make it work as well. So never say never.
Pineapple on a pizza?
I don't know about that.
Oh, but I mean, we're talking before about the book. Oh, Rick is shaking his head. I'm going to do a quick poll. No, looking around Teriyaki restaurant, no. I'm the only one who doesn't mind a bit of pineapple on a pizza. Don't come at me at 4001. Chef, before you let you go back to your kitchen, and I said you're preparing for an incredible evening on the 14th with the team here, we ask every chef that joins us on the show for their desert island meal. So I know travel is a bit tricky right now, but pretend I'm going to send you to a desert island, not one where it's going to be abundant seafood and coconuts. The food is going to be terrible if completely absent. But the night before we send you away, you get to have the meal of your dreams. And start a main dessert, or you can have, if you wanted to have three courses of cheese, I would not judge you. It can be dishes from your childhood. It could be meals you've tried in restaurants around the world. It could be something from your very own menus. What would you be eating?
So for me, I'm a big sucker for sushi.
Oh, yes.
So I think my first course would have to be sushi and sashimi.
Anything in particular?
I love like maki rolls. Mm. So prawn rolls or soft shell crab. And with big lashings of caviar.
It's all out. And then for main, you mentioned beef before.
I love beef and truffle. I'm a big sucker for that.
So we're not thinking about any gout in the future.
No
we're not worrying about the calories.
The life's too short for that.
Right. And you've got a sweet tooth. So what's for dessert?
Just a big chocolate overlord. Yeah.
Okay.
Chocolate and maybe with truffle ice cream.
Why not?
You know?
Throw it all at the wall.
Yeah.
Chef, thank you so much. Who do you think would really enjoy coming along for your meal on the 14th? Who's it for? Who do you have in mind?
I mean, just every diner is the same for us. And that's the thing. We're just really grateful to cook for everyone who's going to be there on the night. We just can't wait.
The food sounds incredible. The venue is stunning. And I think a really wonderful way to explore New Zealand through the power of your taste buds. So thank you so much, Chef. Really appreciate your time. And of course, your food as well. It's all about getting that char on the lamb.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live at the New Zealand Pavilion for Taste New Zealand. Celebrating the best in food, beverage and culinary talent.
It is Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer. We're broadcasting live from the New Zealand Pavilion here at Expo 2020. Gorgeous atmosphere, and in honesty, this restaurant is just a lovely oasis of calm where you can come along and enjoy some authentic but also innovative New Zealand dishes. We're meeting now some of the chefs behind the creations you can order. They are the apprentice chefs from New Zealand who are in Dubai for just 8 months and the ones responsible for what we've been ordering and enjoying over the course of the afternoon. Michael joining us now, and you are the man behind the cheese scones. So Brandy Scott of the Business Breakfast knew I was going to be here this afternoon. She WhatsApped me going, so jealous, have a cheese scone for me. What is the relationship between New Zealand and the cheese scone, Michael?
I think it really starts with good cheese.
Yes.
That's where it starts, and it starts with good dairy.
So I understand that, well, not controversy as such, but certainly a bit of competition amongst the chefs here to make sure that the best cheese scone was going to be available. What cheese are you using?
So it's a mix of Kapiti smoked cheddar and aged cheddar.
Oh. Good bit of salted butter on the side.
Yeah, it has to be hot, and it has to be served with butter with flaky salt on the top.
Oh my goodness, right. Brandy Scott, if you're listening, I'm bringing one for you to get your day started right tomorrow. And when I walked into the restaurant today, Michael, I saw some friends, and one was having beautiful salmon and one was having a pie, and he was like, this is the best pie I've ever had. You are the man responsible for this. Tell us a little bit about, it's venison, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is a creation of your own, or has it been inspired by something you've eaten at home?
Definitely inspired by something we eat at home. Pies to me are personal.
Yeah. Pies I love like, this. Michael's hashtag, pies are personal.
Pies are personal, yeah. Pies a bit like shawarma here.
Yes.
Or other things around, burgers in America, right? It's how you eat at breakfast, lunch and dinner.
You'd have a pie for breakfast?
Yeah, of course you'd have a pie for breakfast.
This isn't a judging voice. This is a voice of pure admiration.
Yeah,
really?
Of course, yeah. On the way to school, at the tuck shop. Yeah, you'll definitely have a pie.
Now, this is not just any pie. This is like an elevated pie.
Yeah.
Tell us about the meat that's in it and how it's prepared.
So in there we have first light venison. So we just use all the trim from our fillet that we get for our venison main. And it's just a way of using it up. Mm-hmm. And the other most important part, again, it's the cheese. So in New Zealand, we eat mince and cheese pies and steak and cheese pies.
So there's cheese in it. Inside it?
Yeah, just under.
Now, it's a beautiful kind of, almost like a crown of pastry, and it's got that lovely flakiness, but it's also got a bit of shine on it as well. Do you do an egg wash, or how do you get that look?
It's a bit of classic pastry techniques, really. It's a bit of, not just egg wash, but a sugar and a bit of salt in the egg wash.
He's giving away all his secrets. Yeah. Michael, can I ask you, and when you got into the culinary world, really, why was it? What is it about food that you love?
Again, I just grew up on the bench top with my grandma and my mum, and watching Jamie Oliver and Gordon Ramsay and all those things. It's probably a bit tacky, but yeah, that's just where it started.
No, but I think for kind of my generation, your generation, that was a real turning point to see people on TV who were having careers in food, because for so long it was just hidden in the kitchen.
Yeah, definitely. I think first you have to just have a real care for hospitality, or as we call it in New Zealand, manaakitanga. So
say that again.
Manaakitanga.
What does that?
It's hospitality. It's hospitality.
That welcome.
Yeah, welcoming and caring for people, like coming to Tutiaki is like coming to our home, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we try and show.
Well, I have to say, the food is fantastic in your house. It really, really is. Yeah. And what are your ambitions for the future? What does success look like to you as a young chef?
Look, I did the whole fine dining thing and I really enjoyed it, but it's really full on. And actually, my dream's to go home and start a pie shop.
Yes!
Yeah.
Michael's Pies.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. Don't forget us.
Yeah, I won't.
Thank you. Oh, absolute pleasure. We're going to be meeting next. Two young chefs. We've got Esther and Laura Jane with us, who have created an amazing cheese plate complete with chocolate and honeycomb. And a pavlova topped with the very fruit we're asking you to identify this afternoon. If you want to come along to Tiki, the New Zealand Pavilion, for a very special meal on the 29th, we just simply want you to tell us, what is the national fruit of New Zealand? You probably know the answer, and I will accept emojis on 4001, or indeed using the ARN Play app. We've actually got 8 seats available, so we're looking for 4 winners to come along with a plus one. What is the national fruit of New Zealand? You might hear it next.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live at the New Zealand Pavilion for Taste New Zealand, celebrating the best in food, beverage and culinary talent.
And we are meeting some of that culinary talent right here this afternoon, speaking to 3 apprentice chefs from New Zealand who are the people responsible for putting the dishes on the menu and the food on your tables if you come to Tiaki Restaurant here at the New Zealand Pavilion. Laura Jane and Esther joining us now. So Laura Jane, you're in Dubai for 8 months and this is your first time out of New Zealand. What were you expecting from Expo and what's it been like in reality?
Well, it's been overwhelming, to say the least. I don't know. I wasn't sure what I was expecting. I was just looking for a new experience. I know, to be part of New Zealand at Expo, which has been a great experience so far.
Because you guys are really the kind of the foodie ambassadors, you know, for people like me. I've never been to New Zealand, and you know, I see New Zealand lamb on the shelves at supermarkets and I know a little bit about some of the dishes, but I've never actually eaten it. And to be able to come here and you know your family have a dairy farm, you know, Michael talking about growing up eating pies in the tuck shop, and really the interpretation of your childhoods onto the menus. So tell us a little bit about maybe one of the more controversial dishes, the pavlova, because I understand there's been a bit of a wrangling over the years about who is really responsible. I'm guessing you're going to say New Zealand.
Oh yeah, definitely. Of course New Zealand created it.
Now, I wish you could see it. One day we'll be able to have some kind of smell-o-vision as well. But tell us a little bit about the pavlova you've created for the menu here, Laura Jane.
So originally we're getting the pavlovas brought in, but I was like, well, it's not really a pavlova. It was more like a meringue. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'll use my mum's recipe.
Yes.
So passed down from generations to generations, and she actually taught me how to make it. And then we've got some vanilla whipped cream, some passion fruit, and also kiwi fruit as well.
Of course, we've got some of the fruit of New Zealand, the crowning glory. Now, I mean, I could eat that on my own. Is this supposed to be a sharing dessert?
No, I would happily eat this by myself.
Good plan. So after Expo, you're going back to New Zealand. And what are your kind of culinary ambitions when it comes to working in the world of food, Laura Jane?
Well, I've only been a chef for 3 years now, so I'm just starting out. So I'd like to get more into doing different types of restaurants and stuff like that.
Exploring.
Yeah, exploring. creating my knowledge and stuff like that. So,
well, I mean, what an opportunity here in Dubai to explore the different pavilions and see what other chefs are doing around the world, you know, from the African dining hall to, you know, even food delivery systems. It's been amazing to see food really at the forefront of Expo. And you're talking before about not knowing what your expectations were. I've been in Dubai 15 years and we've been talking about Expo for ages, and I didn't really know what my expectations were, but it's absolutely blown me away every single time I come. Laura Jane, thank you so much. And Esther's with us too. And you are here kind of flying the flag for your food, of course, as well, but also for your home as well. You've born in Nigeria, but really representing New Zealand as well. Tell us a little bit about the food you were having growing up, Esther.
Well, growing up, I had pretty much an explosion of of African cuisine, like Nigerian food, and also like New Zealand cuisine. So I kind of like have a bit of combination of like Western food and also like African food as well.
It was amazing to talk to Chef Sid before about, you know, him being born in India and training the Middle East and now in New Zealand. And it sounds like, you know, that kind of that fusion that he's bringing has been so popular and really putting a different spin on some very traditional ingredients. You know, we had beautiful spiced lamb, for example. And you are here with one of the most beautiful cheese plates I've ever seen. What is it about food that you love? What's attracted you to working in this industry?
One thing I love about food is that it's a universal language, you know? Pretty much you can connect with people through food, which is one thing I just love, is that you can never get bored with it. You know, you can always try something different, you can always try something new. There's always something new coming up. It's never boring. And that's one thing I just love about the industry, is that there's always somewhere you can go from, not just stay in the same place.
And I think that's really so beautifully put. And I think a lot about food being like music. You know, in music you've got these notes, and you've got, you know, composers and songwriters who can put them together in infinite combinations and possibilities. And with food you've got flavors and ingredients, and depending on where you grew up, where you've traveled to, what you've been exposed to, conversations you've had, you can put these flavors together and make it yours and tell your story.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
So when it comes to the New Zealand ingredients, we've got honeycomb here. We have got chocolate on a cheese plate. I am in favor. Now, this can be like a starter or dessert, or just kind of pop into teriyaki for a snack.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the go-tos if you come as a group, to just kind of have like a little cheese platter. And actually it's pretty much like a sharing thing for everybody, and just enjoy.
Now, Laura Jane, you're probably the best person to ask about this, given your dairy farm connection. And this is an opportunity to shout loud and proud about New Zealand cheese. Why do you think it is special?
Well, it's obviously the dairy industry is massive in New Zealand, and we take care of our animals and cows and make sure they're looked after. And that shows it now, our milk and dairy products.
And we've seen this in the lamb as well, you know, and I do think diners care more, you know, more than ever before about the provenance of their food, where it's come from, and how they've been treated throughout that whole process. And ultimately, not just about how they taste, but that backstory as well. So thank you, all three of you, for your creations in the restaurant and for the incredible dishes you put before us. This is where I'm going to say thank you and grab a fork and dive headfirst into that pavlova. Thank you so much, Michael, Esther and Laura Jane, the apprentice chefs here, responsible for the dishes at Teriyaki Restaurant.
You're listening to Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Live at the New Zealand Pavilion for Taste New Zealand. Celebrating the best in food, beverage and culinary talent.
We are talking food, broadcasting live from Expo 2020. We're in the New Zealand Pavilion, and very well fed, I have to say. Brilliant atmosphere. It's a real little oasis of calm, but people coming in and having a late lunch. We're seeing the delicious venison pie going out, lots of burgers, fish and chips, and yes, pavlova too. Speaking now to Daniel Wells, the Vice President of Commercial at Emirates Flight Catering, who have partnered with New Zealand. Dan, thank you so much for being with us. We've been talking a little bit about, I guess, our expectations of Expo 2020, and I just really wanted to say what an incredible job so many people have been doing behind the scenes. When did the preparation start, and why did you decide to partner with New Zealand?
So the preparations for us started back in 2015, and actually my first day on the job, I went to New Zealand on a sourcing mission.
Oh, it's a tough life, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, it wasn't the worst week of the world, so we'll come on to that later on. But I mean, we're incredibly selective of who we work with.
Of course.
New Zealand is a tier one country for the group, So we were really attracted to the pavilion. We've got a huge amount of chefs. There's great produce. And for us, it's the case of the chefs playing around with the produce. Mm-hmm. That's just food and obviously the non-food, the beverage side of things as well. Sustainability is becoming bigger and bigger
and
in the UAE.
And we're slap bang in the sustainability district as well.
Yeah, and obviously the producers and knowing where the food came from, mm-hmm. we can identify the farms. We can identify everything from field to fork. So that's something that we were really keen on, which is why we wanted the New Zealand Pavilion.
I like it. You knew what you wanted and you went after it, because it is such a rich ground for incredible ingredients and a real hotbed of talent too, which is what Taste New Zealand is all about over the next 3 weeks, really celebrating the produce that's coming out of it, the talent that is here, and getting some guest chefs involved as well. So tell us then about your New Zealand visit back in just before Expo kicked off, really.
Well, yeah, it's March 2016, as a few of us went out there. I don't even know where to start on it. It was such a great trip. The first thing that really hit us was how hospitable everyone was. Mm-hmm. From the minute we landed, we were given a red carpet treatment. We saw the farms, we saw the coffee roasters, we saw the crayfish farms. You know, we saw it. We were on flights. It was a very, very busy week. We had a dragon's den scenario.
Did you?
Yeah.
So were you a dragon?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah.
So don't be coy, Simon Cowell. I can imagine you were there. No.
So, and that was from the Antipodes water. They came in. That was from the consumables we're using in the bathroom. They're all from New Zealand.
Can I just say, great loos at the New Zealand Pavilion. And it's funny you mentioned the soap. They've got this lovely eucalyptus and honey soap. And I was like, have I had a bigger handbag?
We can give you a bit to take.
That wasn't a hint, I promise. But the attention to detail has been absolutely, you know, unbelievable. You know, from the light fixtures above us, the ceramics that are coming out of the kitchen, even the soundtrack, everything in the pavilion is just so well thought out. It really is.
Yeah, we've had a huge amount of prep for this. Mm-hmm. And one thing, we work as a team. It's not a contractor mm-hmm. pavilion relationship. It is one big happy family here. And we continue to strive. You know, we have our challenges, but it's all a case of how do we get through it together?
Can I ask you a strange question? We were talking earlier to Clayton Kipton, the Commissioner General, and he was kind of really letting us in the fact that as a pavilion, you don't know what other pavilions are doing. That gives me the mega anxiety that you think, well, we think we've got a fantastic product here, but what's so-and-so up the road doing? You must have been confident, obviously, in the food offering, because as you say, in terms of the talent and the quality of produce, but what were you expecting from the others in terms of measuring up, I suppose?
Very simply, we didn't know.
No, it's so strange, isn't it?
We've got a privilege. We're operating other couple of pavilions that are very different to this one. Mm. But going back to the New Zealand trip, one thing that we wanted to do pre-COVID was sharing platters. Mm-hmm. In New Zealand, everything we tried was on a sharing platter. So we had the concept wrong in our head before we got there. Mm-hmm. When we got there, we realised it was sharing platters. We brought it back. We designed a menu around sharing platters. And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So we've had to kind of pivot pretty quickly.
But there is, I've seen a pretty impressive one on the menu though.
One did survive.
I'm very pleased. Because we were talking earlier about that sense of welcome and, you know, hospitality and food being a real tool for communication and celebration, which I think New Zealand embodies just perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, when you go to New Zealand, when you sit at those cool restaurants, the vibe is there. Everything is just, everyone's having fun, everyone's sharing the food, everyone's enjoying themselves. And that's the kind of what we wanted to recreate here. We didn't want a stuffy environment. Mm-hmm. We wanted a relaxed, polished atmosphere, which is what we think we've created. Feedback so far has been really positive, and I welcome anyone to come and try it.
I mean, our very own Brandy Scott with the Business Breakfast, proud Kiwi, and the woman responsible for me packing on a few kilos thanks to these amazing cheese scones, is here every chance she gets. And I always think that's a pretty good recommendation when a native of that country is there being like, yes, fish and chip me up, bring me a Kiwi burger, and I'll take two cheese scones back to the studio.
Yeah. She is a local, what we would say.
Brand ambassador.
I think she's got a loyalty card, so yeah.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but I totally am. Do you have a favourite item on the menu here at Tiaki?
Simple answer is no. It depends what time of the day it is. Depends if I'm having a business meeting. It depends if I'm having time with the boys.
Okay, fine.
Depends
what I'm doing. I'll give you three.
Okay, well, I was going to finish with the cheese platter. Does suit every kind of every kind of time of the day that you're here, the cheese platter always goes down well. Depending on who you're with, the audience, the burger is obviously a big hit. That's our biggest seller. I think we've done thousands and thousands of those burgers.
It's a bit different to any combination of ingredients I've seen on other menus. For anyone who's not familiar with a kind of traditional Kiwi burger, what is in it, Dan?
A fried egg. From an English guy point of view, I wouldn't do it. But then we went
through... But it works!
Various tastings over and over again with our clients here who insisted it had to have a fried egg and beetroot in it. But it does work.
It works. And as you say, we've seen lots coming out of the kitchen today. Now, let's go back to New Zealand, if that's okay, because we've been lucky enough to be joined by Chef Sid this afternoon, who is a real pioneer when it comes to fine food. He is born in India, trained in Middle East, made his real career and name in New Zealand, and lucky enough to have him here over the next few days. When you were in New Zealand, you got to go to Cassia. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Well, I think that was... I was actually doing some chatting to a colleague over there, but that was on our last night. Mm-hmm. And what we'd experienced in New Zealand before we went to Cassia was completely different. And that's why we were so amazed when we walked in there and we started tasting the food. Now, I've lived in the Middle East a few years now, and actually you kind of get used to that kind of subcontinental taste. But it wasn't what we were expecting when we went in there. And when we sat down, we were kind of blown away. And actually, I've been very fortunate. I just tried the lamb that he's been cooking here.
How good is the lamb?
Yeah, it's pretty good. And yeah. I'm looking forward to it going on the menu.
I think it's going to be a really welcome addition. And we're giving you a bit of a masterclass. If you missed that, do check out the podcast tonight. Using this horopito, like bush pepper, bush spice, yeah. In the creme fraiche, a beautifully spiced rack of lamb cooked in the pan for just a few minutes on either side. And I think it is... chefs like Sid who are really happy to demystify some ingredients, because you might walk around your local Spinnies and go, oh, I had all of that for a menu, but I wouldn't know how to cook it. And he's there talking about how to get a nice easy char. But, amazing guy.
But good food is simple, you know, and that just demonstrates that.
Yeah, and I think that's something a lot of chefs actually acknowledge, that as they move through their career, you understand if you've got a great ingredient, you don't need to, you know, bells and whistles, yes, have some fun, but when the quality of the produce is as good as some of the things coming out of New Zealand, you know, the chicken, the lamb in particular, the cheese platter, then you just let them sing.
Yeah, absolutely. The ingredients, we're spoilt for choice in this pavilion. And again, we've pivoted, we've played around, and we've seen what's in season. We've seen what COVID has done to certain prices of certain products, mm-hmm. you know, so we have had to change ideas, we've had to change ingredients, we've had to change menus. But that's the beauty of New Zealand and allowing the chef to play around.
And they're having a lot of fun, I have to say. Really an absolute pleasure earlier to speak to Michael, Laura, Jane and Esther about their career ambitions and what's been happening behind the scenes to create some of the dishes that you can enjoy, from that venison pie, pass me a fork, that pavlova looks amazing. And just real wonderful to see the next generation of talent coming through. Daniel, thank you so much. Really appreciate
Pleasure.
It. As we said, Taste New Zealand kicking off tomorrow for the next few weeks. We've got Daniel joining us, commercial vice president there at Emirates Flight Catering. And I have to say, not a bad office for you to be having some business meetings.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Pretty, you know, lucky
I'm
indeed.
I'm pretty happy, yeah. Welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
Join the conversation
on Dubai Eye 103.8.
And thank you for downloading this episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe. You'll get direct to your phone as soon as it's out. And you can listen to me live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Monday to Friday between 2 and 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.